station. After Sergeant Matthew Kyle was injured in Iraq, his young wife Tracy faced the daunting task of getting their VA benefits.
There's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of forms to fill out.
For years, paralyzed veterans trained experts have helped injured veterans and their families. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
To help, visit pva.org.
Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon, 1-800-468-6933. Narcanon provides free assessment and referral services. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit our website at stopaddiction.com.
Time for traffic.
All right, we have bad news if you're on the road. An overturned tractor trailer is causing major gridlock. Cleanup crews are trying to remove the wreckage, and traffic is backed up for nearly 12 miles. If you don't want to be stuck in your car all day, make sure you absolutely avoid route.
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
All right, let me ask you a legal question. How many lawyers do you know? How many lawyers do you trust? When you get in trouble or don't know the answer to a legal question, who do you call? Well, now you have a network of lawyers you can call right now at 800-7100-LAW. Hi, I'm Scott Weinberg, host of Courtside Radio. Any legal question you have deserves an honest answer. A lawyer you can trust. Don't just settle for anything less. Whatever legal question, text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. If I can't answer the question, I'll make sure one of my lawyers will. Guaranteed. Text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. That number again is 800-7100-LAW. Or text advice to 313131. Get the justice you deserve.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
All right.
Sit courtside for all the legal news of the day on the Courtside Radio Show. Your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg, will guide you through the legal maze of our court system and the laws that affect you personally. And now, here's your host, Attorney Scott Weinberg.
Good morning out there. Bright and sunny. Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness the sun is out and shining all over our rights here in Courtside Radio. We're at 11:30, The Fan. Is he guilty? Are they coming back guilty? Manslaughter? Are they coming back guilty? Murder too? Or is it going to be an acquittal? That's right. The biggest case going on right now, the Zimmerman case, deliberating as we speak in that sunny Florida. We're going to get and we're going to talk all about Zimmerman here on Courtside Radio. And then we're going to get to a wonderful event that we actually just came to and did a 5K this morning. Run Drugs Out of Town event there in Fraser, Michigan. We're going to talk to a couple people there, and we're going to see what was going on with that event. But your calls, my views, here on Courtside Radio. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for your scot-free legal tip of the day, sponsored by Courtside Radio on 1130 WDFN, The Fan.
After Sergeant Matthew Kyle was injured in Iraq, his young wife Tracy faced the daunting task of getting their VA benefits.
There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of forms to fill out.
For years, paralyzed veterans trained experts have helped injured veterans and their families. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
To help, visit pva.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Weinberg, and here's my scot-free legal tip of the day. If you use medical marijuana, be sure you know all the ins and outs of the law, when and where, how to store it, and how to use it before you decide to get behind the wheel of a vehicle. The Michigan Supreme Court, in a controversial recent decision, People v. Kuhn, they recently state that when the government is charging a person with operating while under the influence statute, and that person has a valid medical marijuana certificate, The prosecutor has to prove more than simple use. The government has to prove that the driver was under the influence of the drug, not simply had it in his system. But make no mistake, the police will be performing field sobriety tests, you know, finger to nose, walk a straight line, that kind of thing, to show a person is basically influenced by the drug and then arrest them for drug driving. So tip of the day, know your rights before you get behind the wheel of a vehicle. I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, and that's your scot-free legal tip of the day. All right, let me ask you a legal question. How many lawyers do you know? How many lawyers do you trust? When you get in trouble or don't know the answer to a legal question, who do you call? Well, now you have a network of lawyers you can call right now at 800-7100-LAW. Hi, I'm Scott Weinberg, host of Courtside Radio. Any legal question you have deserves an honest answer. A lawyer you can trust. Don't just settle for anything less. Whatever legal question, text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. If I can't answer the question, I'll make sure one of my lawyers will. Guaranteed. Text the word advice to 313131 or call 800-7100-LAW. That number again is 800-7100-LAW or text advice to 313131. Get the justice you deserve.
Let's rejoin the Courtside Radio Show with your host, attorney Scott Weinberg.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about George Zimmerman. You know, people never really want to talk about the defendant because they always want to talk about, of course, the victim in the case. And there was a tragedy there, Trayvon Martin. But you know what? The case is about, they're not considering as much as you might want to think about it. Jurors are not sitting there thinking and should not sit there and think, should we feel sorry for the family? Should we feel sorry for the deceased? Because that is not in the jury instruction. We're all talking about the Zimmerman case like it should be about anything other than what it really is, which is, did he have this intent to kill him? Because that's what they charged. Murder, too. You want to join this conversation, 248-848. 1130. We're going to be giving out certificates today to Starbucks, $10 gift certificate for the best question of the day. We're going to take it at 248-848-1130. And this is what I want to know. So we're all watching it. We're all waiting, right? We're all thinking it's going to be some type of decision that marks an issue of race, right? I mean, that's what they're talking about. Are they going to come back? Are they going to come back guilty? And is it going to make a comment in our society about race? You know, I can't watch any of those news stations, whether it's CNN or MSNBC. I can't watch any of them without seeing either someone of color who's against it, who wants them convicted, and someone who is not and is supporting the defense. Every former prosecutor that I've seen in there is supporting the prosecutor. Listen, I'm a former prosecutor, and I don't necessarily see it that way. You want to join the conversation, 248-848-1130, and let me know, do you think it's about race? And if it isn't about race, what is the deciding factor in your mind if you are the jury? If you are one of those six people now sitting on that jury, what is your deciding factor on whether or not you're going to find him guilty of murder too? Because that's what he's charged with. He was not charged with manslaughter. See, people don't realize when you have felony information and you're charging a defendant, you charge what you think you're going to be able to prove. You don't put necessarily... You can put the lesser included offenses, but you can charge that at the time. Well, they didn't do that in this case. They charged murder in the second degree. That depraved heart. They went for the gold. That's what they did. Now, if they were confident that they would get just murder in the second degree, prosecutor's office charged that. But when they want to make sure they're going to get a conviction on something, even if it's something that won't carry that mandatory life, they're going to charge it in the information. And they did not do that in this case. They didn't. They waited to the last minute possible. While before the jury just went out to include manslaughter charges. And the reason is because the case did not go in the way they thought. They did not get their murder in the second degree testimony from their witnesses. And so they had to scramble. They had to throw in anything possible. And that's when they added in the manslaughter. And we'll get to what my prediction is at the end of this case. Because let me tell you something. I think I've got this called. And I've had many jurors. And let me tell you something. You never know with the jury. But I'm going to make my prediction on what this jury is going to come back with. You want to give me that prediction? 248-848-1130. The way that you decide as a jury what is going to be important to you is you relate it to your own life. That's what they do. Would he, if they were in that situation, would one of those jurors have done what George Zimmerman did? I mean, that is the bottom line. You have to say, is it reasonable that he felt what he did at the time? Now, believe me, prosecutors aren't going to want that. They're not. Prosecutors aren't going to want for the jury to go back and put themselves in position of getting their head potentially beat. I mean, they're not. They're going to want the jury to think about what was it like as the victim. And of course, that's the way prosecutors are going to present it and did present it. Now, you might not like the way the prosecutor presented it. There were two of them, and we'll get to that. But in the end, it's really not about the personality of the lawyers. It's about the facts that come into the jury that are allowed by this judge and what are they considering on those facts in the jury room. That's what it's about. Join this conversation right after the break, 248-848-1130, and we're going to get your questions here on Courtside Radio. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for your scot-free legal tip of the day, sponsored by Courtside Radio on 1130 WDFN, The Fan.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, "We're not going to gamble with your life."
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
I am Scott Weinberg, and here's my scot-free legal tip of the day. If you're charged with domestic violence, know your rights before you go into court. Remember, most assault cases are he said, she said cases, relying on someone's word to go forward. There are many people charged with domestic violence that do need therapy and support in learning how to not lash out to solve their problems. But there are many people who are charged that don't deserve to be charged at all. For instance, someone trying to get an upper hand in a custody battle might make a false allegation against you. Know your rights before you go to court and don't plead to something that you may regret. There are first offender statutes that allow many people to get therapy they need and designed to teach instead of punish. I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, and that's your scot-free legal tip of the day.
Time for traffic.
All right, we have bad news if you're on the road. An overturned tractor trailer is causing major gridlock. Cleanup crews are trying to remove the wreckage, and traffic is backed up for nearly 12 miles. If you don't want to be stuck in your car all day, make sure you absolutely avoid Route...
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
Let's rejoin the Courtside Radio Show with your host, attorney Scott Weinberg.
Welcome back to the show. We're here, of course, sponsored by and helping Plumbing Professors Radio at 800-654-1300. Let me tell you something. I had a problem with my bathroom. And they were unbelievable. They came out. They did a great job. 800-654-1300. Plumbing Professors. call them if you have any problems. All right, we're getting back to the issue of Zimmerman and whether or not you feel that first it's about race, because they weren't even really allowed to even talk about that. Is it about race? That's our first question. And then the second question is, now that it's in the hands of the jury and this fate lies with this jury, are they going by the issues that they are going to basically think about the victim, Trayvon Martin, or are they going to put themselves in the position of Zimmerman and say what he was thinking, what was he doing, what was he in fear of at the time? Sean, we got your opinion here. What is it? Is it first about race?
I think it is about race. I think that a lot of times, I mean, if you would have seen this flip-flop, then it would have been that you wouldn't even seen it. They wouldn't have even put this on TV. It would have been a totally different thing. I mean, here in Florida, that has been the thing for the last however many months, this George Zimmerman trial. And I think that the attorneys for Trayvon Martin, those are the ones that you've seen pushing this, you know, making a big deal out of it on TV, pulling out, you know, the race card all over the place. So, no, I think it would have been completely different.
And you're calling from Florida, right? You're listening on iHeartRadio. Well, that's good. So what's the perspective there in terms of how it's coming into the jury? Did they talk about in Florida where it's, because this is a conservative town, right? This is not like it's downtown Miami. I mean, this is a little conservative, probably a predominantly, I don't know about Republican, but definitely conservative place. It's not an urban environment where you've got a large minority base.
Right.
How did it come into the jury? How were people talking about it down there?
They were saying that if they were the jury, they would be putting themselves in that same, in the position like the defense said. I mean, it feels like most of the people I have talked to and the people I went out with last night said that, you know, they thought that the defense rested their case well and that they would be able to put themselves in that position.
Yeah. But one of the things is you really can't listen. No one really knows what happened because they're just going by what Zimmerman had actually testified. He didn't even testify to it, of course. It was right not to. It's what was in his interview. And then, of course, what they heard on those on that phone call.
Right.
We don't really know what happened on that. Do you feel down in Florida that if it is a not guilty verdict, that there's going to be an uproar of the black community and there's going to be any kind of riots?
I think it would be an uproar at first with that, but I think it would be worse if it's a guilty verdict. I think it's going to...
Worse if it's a guilty verdict?
I think it's going to... No, if it's a not guilty, I think that there's going to be a lot of a problem. But I think that'll, you know, die down. But I think if it's... If the guy goes to prison and it's even worse than what we had thought it was going to be, I think it's going to be a big political thing around here.
Well,
there's a lot of people that try and defend themselves, and you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be bad for all of us.
Well, thanks for a call. Let's hope that it does not turn out where, if it is a not guilty verdict, we're going to have the quote Rodney King effect, where people are going to be lying in the streets. And I really don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you should have seen this, the county sheriff. He was trying to pacify everybody, trying to make sure that no matter what happens, he doesn't have to arrest anybody. Alan from Florida, we got, what's your opinion about it? One, is it about race, first? And two, do you put yourself in the victim's shoes or in the defendant's shoes? Do you think the jury is going to, how do you think they're going to be thinking about that?
Well, first, thank you for taking my call, and it's a great show. I'm from Florida. Basically, I lived in Chicago for 65 years and was held up three times at gunpoint in my lifetime, living in the city of Chicago. And all three times I was held up, it was basically by people of color.
Now, do you wish you had a gun on you?
No, but I will tell you this, and that's why I'm calling. No one can tell me that Trayvon Martin didn't have fear at the time he was encountering Zimmerman.
How do we know that?
About it. I don't know the I can't imagine the amount of fear he had, but he had to be scared. When you see somebody following you at night and you know who they are, it's fearful. And all three times I saw it happen. Third time my wife was with me. But the bottom line is that as far as the case goes, what I saw and what I've heard is that Zimmerman hasn't told the truth at least four or five times. He's changed his story. Every time he was interrogated, it kept changing based to his advantage. So we really, the sad part about this case is we really don't know.
Well, he wasn't interrogated.
So we'll never know what his mind told him. Was he fearful of his life? Now, in the state of Florida, basically, as they say, all you need is to assume your life is threatened or you're fearful of your life, and you can shoot somebody, I guess. I mean, we're in a state, all states now allow you to carry concealed weapons. Now,
yeah, but wait, hold on, Alan. Here's the story, though. We don't really know what happened. He did not take the stand. The interviews that he gave on TV are really up. That's really what we know what happened or from those interviews. So we don't really know what fear that Trayvon Martin had at the time. I mean, we can think of a 17-year-old young man who is walking home, as they say, with his Skittles in his hand, and he is now in fear because someone's following him. But we don't really know that. We don't.
But I'm telling you that if you've experienced that kind of thing, there is fear. That's what I'm trying to say. From my life experience, there's fear. So there had to be some element of fear, but that isn't the issue, in my opinion. The issue is that this man should have stayed in his car. He should not have pursued. He understood what he was told. He's the watch committee chairman. He should know. He knew what the rules were. Why did he go after this young man? We know why. We understood what he said if you use his words. Yeah. In my opinion, listening to him and his television and his interviews with the police, he convicted himself.
So it's all about race. You think it's about race because
he had malice for black people. Yeah. That's what he was talking about. That's exactly what he said. How could anybody reasonably think that that wasn't in his mind? He was going to get, he missed the other robberies. He, was part of that committee. He never was involved. He saw people get robbed in that community. He now had a chance. I'm there. I see somebody. I'm going to get mine. That's how I feel. I believe he's guilty, whether it's second degree. I think manslaughter, at least, is what he should end up receiving, because there's no doubt there was no reason for him to kill a young man who was going home rain at 7 o'clock.
So you think...
I've been involved in fights. Everybody's been involved in fights in their life. That doesn't take it to a level where you should shoot somebody. I'm sorry.
So you think he should be convicted of murder too, but probably will be convicted of manslaughter. Is that what you're saying?
I think he should be convicted of either murder too or manslaughter, because I believe that he committed, he shot somebody.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it rose to the level of that type of a threat.
All right, Alan. Thanks for your call. Mike in Clinton Township, what do you think? Guilty of murder too? First of all, is it about race? And then how is it coming into the jury? And you can tell me when that you think it's going to be guilty of murder too and manslaughter too if you want.
I think it is about race, and I don't think we'd be talking about this if it happened in Chicago or someplace. But
stay with that for a second. Why not? Why, if it's in a big city, do you think we wouldn't be talking about it?
Because it happens, 20 times a week at one of those big cities?
All the time. All the time, right? And we don't hear it. It's not a national news.
It's not white on black or black on black or Spanish on black. It doesn't have anything to do with race in those cities. So they've seen this, the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons seen this as a chance to further their agendas. The same with the Justice Department paid demonstrators to go down there and demonstrate.
Right. Demonstrate which way? You mean for the conviction?
Yeah. So there would be a trial. The Justice Department actually bused students down there to demonstrate. They paid money for them to go down there and do that.
And, isn't that interesting? Because that's really what happened in this case, is that the prosecutor's office denied they didn't want to bring the charges. They had to appoint a special prosecutor in order to get anybody even to charge on this case. Nobody talks about that. This was not going to even be charged. And they had to appoint the special prosecutor for the attorney general to do it.
Well, this trial was over the other day. It was completely over. It was finished. And then the judge instructed, well, you can go for manslaughter if you want.
Well,
he threw that in on the last second. And what's going to happen is he'll probably be convicted on manslaughter. And then the state will lose that on appeal because there's no way they're going to let that fly. That's just absolutely preposterous. You run over somebody with your car and you get exonerated, then all of a sudden they say, we're going to give you a speeding ticket.
So you think what, if he's convicted of manslaughter, it's going to survive appeal or not?
He'll win on appeal.
Why? What do you think, what appellate issues do you think are in this case?
They threw that in at the last second. They didn't charge him.
Yeah, but they can. Well, here's the story. It's like we were talking about before. Thanks for your call. It's they are supposed to charge what they feel they can prove. They are supposed to charge it. And just like Mike was saying, you know what? It seems unfair. Mike's right. It seems unfair that they can just stick in right at the last minute that manslaughter charge. But you know what? It is exactly what happens all the time in criminal cases. Prosecutors will put in a lesser included offense when they think that they're not going to win on the other offense. Listen, as a defense attorney, you know what you want? You want to be able to have, if a case is coming in strong for the prosecutor, as many lesser included offenses as possible. If it's coming in weak, you don't want any because you don't want them to have to compromise. Kathy in Detroit, what do you think? Is it about race or is it not about race?
It's definitely about race. I don't believe Zimmerman would have followed this young man if he was not black. If he was a young white man, he would have allowed him to walk freely through that complex. I believe that he is guilty of second-degree murder. He was told by the police not to follow this young man. He never, ever has stated that he saw this young man do anything criminal.
Well, that's true, too. He was told not to follow him. And, they don't talk about that enough.
He followed him anyway, and he approached him like an armed robber with a gun in his possession. And this young man was defending his life, and he lost the fight. He was defending himself, not Mr. Zimmerman. Zimmerman was the aggressor.
So
and he should be convicted of second-degree murder.
So you think he should be convicted?
Yes.
Is he going to be convicted?
I hope so.
Of second-degree murder?
I heard on an earlier radio show that there's a hung jury, so I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I think he should be retried if it's a hung jury.
Well, I think that first of all, it can't be too hard. Thanks for your call. It can't be too hard for a hung jury on 12 men and women like we have in Michigan. But in Florida, it's only 6. You know, it is so much easier for a dominant person in that jury to be able to control the other 4 or 5 people than it is the rest of the 12, like it would be in Michigan or many other states. So that 6 really makes a difference. You want to join the conversation, 248-848-1130 after the break. Stay tuned. It's Courtside Radio.
Stay tuned for your scot-free legal tip of the day, sponsored by Courtside Radio on 1130 WDFN, The Fan.
After Sergeant Matthew Kyle was injured in Iraq, his young wife Tracy faced the daunting task of getting their VA benefits.
There's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of forms to fill out.
For years, paralyzed veterans trained experts have helped injured veterans and their families. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that veteran's entitled to.
To help, visit pva.org.
Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, and here's your scot-free legal tip of the day. Drunk driving. It's politically incorrect. It's killing people. And yet, it still happens here in the state of Michigan every single day. Why do people get behind the wheel of a vehicle after they've had too much to drink? Should we have breathalyzers in every bar before we leave? Should every car be fitted with a breathalyzer called an interlock device so that we have to blow into it before we start up the vehicle? Back in 2010, Michigan passed a law called Super Drunk Driving, which says that if you have 0.17 blood to alcohol content in your system when you're operating,